Look! Look! Coming down the high street. A scaly green slimy monster 7 feet tall and covered in blotches. Look at it, slurping along with ray guns in its tentacles. Can you see it? Can you see it?
Yes, yes, I see it.
Well, in the shop window just beside it, there's a lovely hat reduced to 19 to 10.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, and Joan Sims in...
Stop messing about. Hello and welcome. Today is the day I'm going to hand them round. Once a year I make a gesture in public. This is it, the Kenneth Williams Awards.
Awards?
Yes, known in the business as the Golden Row Awards.
Shouldn't that be rows?
Yes, it should be, but the fishmonger could only let me have the one.
Just a minute, what exactly are these awards? A statuette or what?
Haven't you seen them? Oh, you haven't seen it? Stay here. Listen, I got one in my BBC locker next to the effigy of Douglas Smith, stuck full of pins. Don't go away. Chat among yourselves. You chat.
Him and his awards. Last year, I went to the film festival at Cannes and came away with a bronze pot.
Yes. Well, sunbathing is good for you.
Hey, up, he's coming.
Here we are. This is it. Here, look. One of the actual awards designed by myself and cast in the very best quality plasticine. What do you think?
Well, I can see it's meant to represent something, but... Oh, it's not supposed to be a...
No.
No, I didn't think it was. I mean, it's nothing like one, really, is it?
No. No, it isn't. Actually, it's an existentialist object. And on the bottom here, see, it has the motto. Yeah. Vita brevis, ars longa. Know what that means?
No.
Can I translate that?
Not an idea.
Well, roughly translate, that means life is short, so let's get on with it. It's good, isn't
That's
it?
That's the best suggestion I've heard today.
Oh, shut your mouth.
Meanwhile, we pick up the threads of our romantic serial, Love is a Four-Letter Word, but who's counting? What new heartbreak awaits those star-crossed lovers, Meg and Tone?
Oh, speak to me, my old sugar plum. Oh, my sugared almond, my little crispy noodle. Vouchsafe me the melodic tinkle of your tuneful obsons.
Pardon?
Say something.
I'm trying to remember the name of that fellow what started the war.
Oh, you mean Kaiser Bill. Oh, yes, always wore a spike on the top of his hat. He did, to discourage the Zeppelins from landing on his feet.
No, the one after him.
After
name
him.
Begins with a H.
A H. Oh, him, with a H, yes. Hitler.
That's the one. I saw him yesterday on an 88 bus.
You can't have a silly old bath bun. Of course you can't. He's living in Argentina, disguised as a gigolo. First, having a very thin time of it by all accounts. Hardly a reverse turn left in him.
No, he ain't. He's living in Clapham. That's where he got off.
Did you ask him if it was him you thought he was?
Of course not. I couldn't remember his name. That's why I asked you to meet me here.
What? You provocative Jezebel. You shameless red herring.
I beg your pardon.
Meet me on the seat behind the bus shelter, you said. It's time we got together and did something about it.
So it is, it's high time.
But about what, you tantalising old tea cake?
About Hitler. He got off the bus without paying.
Oh. It's time for our problem corner, and here's our very own problem man.
My name is Clarence J. Mouse, partner. My problem started when they launched the QE2.
Ah, you're one of the designers.
I haven't finished. Oh. Because I have this horrid dread every time she sails.
You're one of the crew?
No. No, I have this horrid dread that they'll forget to cast off properly and England will be towed out of the Gulf Stream. And we will all freeze to death.
But surely someone would notice.
Only the people living on the Isle of Wight. They'd be left behind, you see.
Well, if they all waved and shouted...
Ha! But suppose they're all in bed.
Oh, I see, yes.
That is why when the QE2 sails, I feel compelled to get into a hot bath until the danger has passed. It's ruining my marriage.
Would you care to enlarge on that?
Well, we haven't got a bath. I have to go to the next house, you see, and sometimes there's someone in it. That's why we've just moved.
Very sensible.
Yes, we set up home on a gas rig in the North Sea. Now we've got a new problem.
Anything serious?
It is a bit. We're starving to death. You see...
Yes?
We cook by electricity.
Once again, it's Crackerjack and Norrie with Mother Time, and here comes everybody's auntie, Maud Nethersole.
Hello, tinies. And biggies, too. How many of you have a special little friend you enjoy playing with? All of you, I'm sure. Well, today's story is about someone with no friends at all. A little brontosaurus called Mervyn, who lived in the middle of Epping Bog. One day, he saw something waving to him from a couple of miles away. So he called out.
Hello, I know what that is, Mama.
But the thing didn't answer. So he hurried over and gave it a friendly nibble. And what do you think he found? It was his own tail, and he burst into tears. Suddenly, he looked up and saw a mammoth called Cynthia.
Hello,
she said.
My name's Cynthia, and I'm a little girl. How about you?
And Mervyn said,
So I see,
said Cynthia.
This could be the start of something big.
And it was. But now, it's time for a song. And this one is called Goblin Market Day. Today is Goblin Market Day, and in the forest glade, each goblin small puts up his stall and does a lively trade. And round the fairy cobbler's stall a most excited buzz, when Fred the elf says, "Help yourself," and everybody does. Oh, buy my elderberry wine, a pixie hiccups gaily. And here comes Sean the leprechaun, a-waving his shillelagh. And when the market day is done, perhaps some friendly gnome will give a smile and chat a while and ask to see you home.
Thank you. Time now for my incredible pull-out supplement. On page one, next to the advertisement for McFife's flannelette chest warmers...
Buy one when the wind doth blow. Stick it up your jumper for a nice warm glow.
We find our very own music corner.
Last week, I was overcome at the opening of a passage in Fingal's Cave.
Congratulations. Next.
The other day, something happened. Made it impossible for me to continue my career as a bass baritone. Impossible. I couldn't continue.
And what was that?
My voice broke.
I'd love to have heard it before. Next.
I cannot play the trumpet voluntarily. But if I'm forced to, I quite enjoy it.
Yes.
If music be the food of love, I'll have a Beethoven pastoral symphony sandwich.
I would like to hear a record of Sophia Loren playing the cymbals.
Certainly. Here you are. Yes. Next.
There aren't many decent, worthwhile parts available for a tenor these days.
That's inflation for you. Next.
I wonder if you could recommend a lively piece for the fiddle.
No, I could not. I'm afraid that's all the letters we have time for.
I haven't finished.
Oh, yes, you have. And now... This week, Vardoing Back comes to you by special arrangement with Bunny Small Print Productions, Limited, Inc. It's the backstage story of a world-famous conjuring act.
Oh, hello, I'm the great Frederini, and this is my friend and assistant, the weenie Frederini.
Hello! Oh, how lovely! Oh, very mysterioso to Vardy your vanishing airline.
Thank you. It's rather hard to Vardy yours under that turban.
That's not a turban, ducky. It's a towel I've been washing me rye.
We've been trying out this new trick, you see, producing doves from unexpected places. And, well, we had this little upset, didn't we?
Little upset, he says. Little, he says. Well. Come the national anthem, I was a walking omelette, ducky. A walking omelette dish. And you promised me all them birds was fellas.
Yes, well...
Promise me, dear. I said we should have done it with goldfish.
And where's the drama in goldfish?
Drama.
You've got to watch it.
I can just see two goldfish flying out of my opera hat holding the Union Jack.
You could have them on a wire, couldn't
have
you?
Have
them on a wire.
Who's going to work it? I mean, I'm busy filling the stage with flags, aren't I?
Yes, but you don't fill it with bowls. Then we could do a sideline in scrambled eggs.
Yes, an act like yours must need tremendous teamwork.
Oh, yes, love.
Oh, yes, tremendous teamwork. Tremendous teamwork.
Yes, hand in glove.
Oh, you have to be with a speciality like ours.
Tell him who first gave you the idea.
Oh, I dursn't divulge it. I dursn't.
Go on.
No, don't. No, I dursn't.
It's been the talk of the magic circle for years, no. That has.
Tell him.
No.
Go on.
No.
Oh, very well, then. The thought first struck me when I took over at short notice in a knife-throwing act.
And tell him the name of the act.
No, I can't.
Tell him the name.
No, I can't. No.
Gone. It was the Four Flashing Clints, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes. Four Flashing Clints. Yes.
Four of them, ducky. Four clints all over the stage. Quick as a flash they were.
Oh. And at the close of the act, I had to stand against this board. Padded, of course.
Yes, padded board.
Yes. Balancing this pineapple on top of my head.
Yes, balancing. Yes. Balancing the pineapple on top of his head.
Head, yes.
Chose him because of the flattest edge. Yeah, the flattest edge.
And then while the others was juggling with luminous ping pong balls.
That lovely touch.
Oh, remember.
Lovely.
Glitter, the glitter, oh. Yes. Clint.
Clint, number four, who was my very special friend, he... hung from his feet, didn't he, on the trapeze?
Yes, worked upside down, he did.
Oh.
Everything upside down, didn't he? His mother was an Australian. At the county, yes. That was actually counted.
The only thing that worried me was the costume they gave me. You see, the act was, I don't know if you know this, but the act was originally called The Three Flashing Clints and Delilah.
Delilah?
Yes, did you know that?
No.
Did make a difference. Anyway, I altered the costume a bit, you mean, to make it fit. I mean, I took a bit in there, put a bit out there, and then come the opening night.
Oh, picture the scene, Ducky. He enters pineapple in hand. Oh, and got a great round of applause for his exotic accessories.
Yes. Well, just the green harem trousers and 24 brass bangles.
And Clint, showy. Nothing showy. Then Clint number four takes up his position on the trapeze. There's a roll of drums as he takes aim at my friend's pineapple. Oh, no. The audience hold their breath in horror as he draws back the gleaming blade. Suddenly, a voice rings out. Wait! Wait! Don't do it!
Whose voice?
Mine. I just remembered.
Go on, tell him what you just remembered.
Oh, I can't.
Yes, tell him. Tell him why. Oh. Tell him why it was you wouldn't let him go through with it.
Well, I've forgotten to make up my midriff.
Now, we get the latest news of the pop scene and all things trendy from Peter, Paul and Mrs. Nurse Poultice.
Oh, hi, man.
Nice to meet you.
I do my own thing, man.
Do you? Well, I hope you won't do it here. I was expecting a song.
Well, it's a work song sung by lonely Australian sheep farmers when they're camping out in the bush.
Shepherd's bush.
Well, splendid. Well, rev up your didgeridoos and let's have it.
Yes.
Once a jolly gas man, name of Arthur Harrison, worked for the gas board somewhere in Leeds.
Called on a lady, found it most embarrassing.
All she had on was a necklace of beads.
Welcome, says the lady, 'cause I've been expecting you.
Gives him a smile as he takes off his hat.
My central heating needs a bit of servicing. Please take a look at me thermostat.
Arthur gives a cough and inquires where the boiler is. Checks all the burners, the pipes and the lot.
Works double quick when the lady comes and says to him,
take off your coat if you feel too hot.
Now that jolly gas man, name of Arthur Harrison, a sadder and much wiser man is he.
Worked there till midnight, didn't charge for overtime,
and all that he got was a nice cup of tea.
Nice cup of tea.
She offered him a donut, but he didn't fancy it.
All that he got was a nice cup of tea.
And so we come to our film adaptation. This week, a Shakespearean romantic tragedy. In association with Franco Zephyr Zodiac, we proudly present Romeo and Juliet.
Our story starts in fair Verona town, at stately home of Capulet. No coaches, paid entrance, half a crown.
I am Hubert Capulet, known as Hubcap for short. At the moment, I am speaking to my only child. Why is it that you aren't like other boys, eh? Out playing Raga and so forth.
'Cause I'm a girl. Oh, Daddy, I'm no longer a child. I'm a woman, full grown. Can you not see?
Yes, I can now, come to me.
And I need what other women need.
Oh, I'd better buy one, then.
I mean a husband.
Oh, very well, Juliet. You shall meet the eligible men of Verona. This very night I shall throw a ball.
In another household in Verona speaks Montague, a miserable old moaner.
Hey, Romeo, lad, you're my only son. When are you going to make me a grandfather, eh? It's time you pull your socks up.
Is that how it's done?
You've no idea, have you? You've gone. Just look at you. Even your doublet's made out of two old singlets. And that... that ruff round your neck. Who is he?
Just an old boyhood friend.
Anyway, it's time to lay aside your stick and hoop and your marbles, son. I mean, you're going on 33.
Only round the waist. And I'll keep taking the tablets.
Well, it's time you learnt about girls.
Girls?
Yes, girl, you must have seen them. They go in and out. In places where we men don't.
Oh, you mean like the powder room?
Well, yes, but look, son. Do you not want the name of Duca to Tesora Familia Grande Patroni de Verona de Monte to go on any longer?
No, I think it goes on long enough.
Will Romeo and Juliet now meet? Yes, at the ball that night. By Jove, that's neat.
Picture the scene, a touch of fingertips. What flowery prose will fall from their young lips.
Are you dancing?
Are you asking?
I'm asking.
I'm dancing. My name's Juliet. I'm a Capulet.
I'm Romeo. I dare not tell you what I am.
Not a Montague. Oh! A member of that family with whom my family has had a bitter feud that is handed down from generation to generation and whose name may never be spoken in our household without a curse.
Yes.
Pleased to meet you.
Likewise.
But tell me, fair Romeo, what do you mean to do? Come into this house with your cutlass at your side.
Rapier.
Oh, well, if you say so.
Oh. Oh, Juliet, I cannot resist you with your flaxen yellow lips and your hair like ripe cherries. I like funny-looking girls.
Oh, but Romeo, our love can never be. Our fathers will stand between us.
Yes, that could make things a bit awkward. But never mind, love will find a way.
Tis night, and on her balcony stands Juliet. Her heart, it burns, perchance from radishes, she's newly ate.
Romeo! Romeo! Wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Beneath thy balcony, fair Juliet, there is something I must tell thee.
What, sweet Romeo?
What I was going to say was that balcony ain't safe.
I say, that's not fair. I was going to play the balcony. All week I've been practising sticking out of the house. I've had ivy climbing all over me. I was looking forward to a spectacular scene where Mr. Williams climbs up me.
Yes. Well, you can play the chorus instead. Off you go.
Oh, very well. We see not what the lovers did, lest some of you should blab it. We now meet Friar Lawrence with his coarse and homespun habit.
Well, helps to keep me awake, you know. That's me, Friar Lawrence. I've been a monk for a very long time. Now, what would you two young gentlemen have me do?
Two young gentlemen, you have been a monk for a very long time. Oh, Friar, Romeo and I wish you to marry us.
But would we all be happy together?
No, marry us to each other. We wish you to sanctify our union. There's the transport and general worker. And marry us as well.
Oh, right. Do you all, Romeo Montague?
I do.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Nevertheless, I pronounce you man and wife.
And so the Starker's lovers...
Star-crossed, you fool! Oh, I don't know, though.
Exactly. In secret they were wed, and Romeo quoth his famous words...
Come on, girl, time for bed.
Oh, Romeo, I can hardly believe that we're married. Actually married. I can hardly believe it. I can't believe it.
Just wait till I get these boots off, you'll believe it.
We draw a veil across that night, lest decency we flout.
There was another page, but the producer cut it out.
News! I bring news, yes, I do! I'm the town crier, boo-hoo! News! News of the great struggle between Tybalt and Mercutio! Tybalt 2, Mercutio 0, and relegated to the second division! News! News!
Wait! Wait! You just can't leave us like that!
You was like that when I come in!
No, She means what other news, crier?
It's different. Romeo has been exiled to Mantua. Oh. Meanwhile, Capulet, not knowing of your secret wedding to Juliet, has promised her hand to Count Paris. Now, read on.
Oh, Friar Lawrence, 'twould not be right for me to wed Count Paris. I would love another.
Certainly, say when. Drink this potion, Juliet. You'll fall into a deep coma before the wedding.
You mean I'll be out for the count?
Exactly.
She quaffed the draught and floorwards gently slipped. They thought her dead and stuffed her in the crypt. Thence came young Romeo with deep regret.
And crept into the crypt of Capulet.
Juliet, I cannot live without you. I shall take this phial of poison and swallow it. So, true apothecary, thy drugs are quick. Thus, with a kiss, I shall die.
I shall die till I die.
Do you mind? I am finished.
But you can't have an unhappy ending like that.
Oh, all right. Get up, Joe, and get up off the tomb. Give it a kick of life, Hugh.
Right.
You ready?
Ready.
Ready? All right, then.
We both lived happy ever after in Verona town.
27 kids to make the neighbours frown. And as we dance off sideways with a smile and a wave,
Shakespeare's turning in his grave.
Or is it Bacon?
Shakespeare's turning in his grave.
Hi!
So ends this week's film adaptation. We understand that some listeners in the Wembley area suffered from interference during the programme. But then that's Wembley for you. That was Stop Messing About with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Joan Sims and the Max Harris Group. The script was by Johnny Mortimer and Brian Cook and Miles Rudge. The producer was John Simmons.